Oftentimes when people are reading the scriptures, they're doing so looking for guidance, consolation, something to strengthen us, to comfort us. And yet occasionally we find that the Word of God really doesn't offer us much in the way of comfort or consolation, but rather it's a challenge to us. And Ecclesiastes and the gospel today are just that. They're a challenge because we don't find anything uplifting, happy, or enthusiastic there. Instead, we find something that's hard for us to accept. The man who was building bigger barns to hold all of his possessions, and yet the Lord said, "You fool, your life will be required of you." Ecclesiastes, everything is a waste of time. It reminds us of the truth of the phrase, Jesus came to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comforted. Sometimes we need the Word of God, which pierces more closely than a two-edged sword, to poke us in the eye, to wake us up, to make us pay more attention to things that sometimes we take for granted. Now, hearing from Ecclesiastes, we don't often hear from that book at the Sunday Mass. We're more used to the beginning of chapter 3. And if you were to attend a funeral here, 8 times out of 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 would be the first reading. To everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Or that song from so long ago, to every season, turn, turn, turn. Well, that's all great and it sounds good, but that's chapter 3. We don't find that in chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, we have Qoheleth, who writes this book, saying, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity, but what on earth is vanity? We have to define our terms first. Well, vanity, of course, might be in the bedroom where the lady has laid out all of her perfumes and the makeup and the hair curlers and all those things. That's a vanity. But spending too much time looking at herself in the mirror, that might be a different kind of vanity. I get accused of that. But the vanity that we're referring to is futility, an exercise in futility, something that no matter how hard you work at it, isn't going to move the football down the field. It isn't going to solve your problems. It's probably just going to cause more of them. That is what Qoheleth is talking about. And yet he's lumping a lot of things in there. He's telling us the most of what we spend our time and attention on is going to come to nothing. And it's going to be a waste of time. He said that you will work so hard to have this property, and then you're going to have to leave it to somebody else. Well, that sure was the point that Jesus was making in the gospel. But what was Qoheleth getting at? This book was written 3 centuries before the birth of Jesus, and it was a time of peace and prosperity for God's chosen people in Israel and Judah. And during a time when there was no war, there was no slavery, and everything was going well, you would think they would just be singing God's praises. But instead, they forgot him altogether. Because Israel was used to turning to God in times of crisis, and they had more than their fair share. And when everything else had faded and failed and all hope was lost, then they might pray. And yet when things were going well, rather than give God the glory, instead they were patting themselves on the back. And what Qoheleth was pointing out is the more prosperous they became, the more forgetful of God they were, and the less mindful of the plight of their fellow brothers and sisters. And this repeats itself in a cycle all throughout human history. That when things are going bad, people cling to the cross. But when things are going good, what cross? Because we're only experiencing the blessings, and we'd like to think that we're the reason for those blessings. People who are prosperous often forget God in the plight of their fellow brothers and sisters. And when we become less mindful of God, we become more disrespectful of God's people. We see that every day. We see it in our own culture, in our own time, where there's a bounty on the head of humanity. We kill our babies, and also we kill each other. We've seen it twice in the last 24 hours. 24 hours ago, people went about their business on a Saturday morning in El Paso at the Walmart when an angry young man comes in and starts picking people off like he's playing a video game. 20 dead, 26 injured. It happened again last night in downtown Dayton, Ohio. Another angry young man outside the Ned Pepper's bar, spraying bullets into the crowd, killing 9, injuring dozens. This happens when people don't have God at the center of their life, at the center of their family, at the center of society. Because when we have no respect for God, we won't have respect for God's people. Not our life or anybody else's. And that's why this is a societal problem, and the Lord is calling us back to himself that we might be more willing and able to sacrifice for him and each other, to lay down our lives instead of taking lives. And so that's a societal ill that must be corrected. That certainly wouldn't be an exercise in futility. There's no vanity there. But in the gospel, it's a sobering reflection. We all want to do well. We all want to do better than the generation before us, so we want our kids to surpass even our greatness. And yet this man who built these bigger barns, he was doing pretty well for himself. And yet, you fool, this night your life will be required of you. And the grim reaper shows up, sickle in hand, to say, everything you accrued, all the possessions and wealth that you have, what good does it do you now? When we mix that reflection from Koheleth and Ecclesiastes with this story in the middle of the 12th chapter of Luke, we see the truth of the title of that play that won a Pulitzer Prize in 1938 called You Can't Take It With You. It's a reminder to us. We spend so much of our time and attention trying to have more and to get more, willing to place ourselves in debt in order to have it, giving a legacy of debt to our kids in order to hold on to it. And yet, how is any of that going to help us find our eternal reward? We need to have that healthy balance between providing for ourselves, for our family, for our future, but also storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And these scriptures tell us today that so much of what we worry about, so much of what we distress about, so much of what we're anxious over are not things that are helping us to find heaven. Mainly, they could become obstacles that get in the way of us finding eternal life. That's all that vanity that Koheleth was talking about. We spend so much of our time worrying about the past we cannot change, worrying about a future we cannot predict, that we find it hard to live in the present. And yet for those who become more mindful of God and more thankful for God's blessings, times of prosperity or times of charity, times of generosity, when we can share God's blessing with God's people and will receive greater rewards from him in return. Let's remind ourselves that we find ourselves in Luke chapter 12. It was in chapter 10 that Jesus started going up to the cross in Jerusalem. He is on his final journey. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to leave it all behind. And so many of the stories he tells along the way are reminding us that one day we too will leave it all behind. And for what purpose? And so if we can't take it with us, let's use what we have for its greatest good, for the glory of God and for the benefit of his people. Let us stand and profess our faith.